coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Monday. It's a Monday, September 16th, 2024. Eric, the tech, did you have a great weekend? You did, right?
No such thing.
And of course, you know, in the wake of assassination attempt number two of President Donald J. Trump, we all knew that was going to happen. We told you it was going to happen. And I'll tell you what, it's not going to stop happening. Yeah, I'm telling you this. This will continue. And the attempts will become with greater, will arrive with greater intensity. I'm just going to leave it there. The fact that Josh Hawley drops whistleblower report today on Secret Service failures in the first Trump assassination attempt. Really, I mean, we could have all, I mean, who anyone surprised? Oh, raise your hands. No one's surprised. All right. A lot of things to get into. I have got, folks, pull up here, because you and I got to talk. I have got somebody with me right now. It's going to blow your mind. This man is going to blow your mind. I feel like now we've become good friends. I hope he feels the same way. His name is Terry Newsom, and he's a man behind the website. I want to make sure I get this correct, because I often truncate the addresses. My fault. FightingBehindEnemyLines.com. That's his website address, FightingBehindEnemyLines.com. Now, you'll see Behind Enemy Lines. You've got to watch that video, and it'll give you the flavor of what you are about to experience. But before I get to Terry, I just want to touch on this, and I want to thank our supporters, both personal and corporate supporters, including, you know, we talk about things like olive oil. You've heard me talk about this before. I'm a big believer in this, and I know if you've got some health issues or if you want to stay healthy, olive oil is a good I remember my mom talking about her mother using olive oil for different things. Look, we've partnered with Dr. Gundry to share this information with you. In your pantry right now, you've got one of the healthiest foods on the planet, and that is olive oil. Folks, I'm sure you've cooked with it, haven't you? But there are countless ways to use olive oil to help yourself look and feel younger. For example, it's a natural way to help you achieve a more youthful appearance. Besides helping you look younger on the outside, it's a fantastic tool for you in your insides as well. According to Dr. Gundry, this famous cardiothoracic surgeon, nutrition expert, health advocate, you should get as much high-quality olive oil into your daily routine as possible. And whether it's taking a shot of it daily, like I do, or keeping a bottle in your medicine cabinet, or however you have to do it, just do it. But what kind is best for your health? Well, olive oil, any olive oil, essentially can give you some benefits. But if you're looking to get the best results, it matters a lot which one you pick. The olive oil industry, of course, is huge. You can tell by the number of olive oil brands you see at the grocery store, and you can bet they're not all made with the consumer in mind. And many brands even cut corners one way or another to increase profits. Now, when Dr. Gundry came to this realization, he was appalled as well. You should be too, okay? But some olive oils are so powerful, it might only take a few teaspoons a week, or tablespoons a week, I should say, to see these incredible health benefits. So how can you tell between an olive oil that, you know, can be a health booster or kind of like not up to par kind of thing, or a mega health booster? How can you tell? In an effort to answer that question, Dr. Gundry has decided to take a stand and release his personal research and findings. And here we have the video. The video has gone viral since its release, and it's important for you to see. You see this video. Watch this video so you can start benefiting right now. Folks, I want you to do this. Go to That's getoliveone.com. Getoliveone.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman, that's slash Hagman. Getoliveone.com/Hagman with two N's on Hagman. And you can watch the video right now by going to that URL or by clicking in the link below. That's getoliveone.com/Hagman. You got it? Good. Just click on the link in the description box below. And by the way, I'll add this. People have taken his advice, have shared their results with him, saying that the olive oil that they bought after learning his simple rules, well, helped change their lives. So make sure you go to getoliveone.com/Hagman or click the link in the description box below. All right, as promised, I promise you, Terry Newsom, this man is one of the, he's a powerhouse. Now, some people will say, man, you always oversell people. That's not possible with Terry Newsom. Terry Newsom is head of the Illinois, but he's Illinois president of parents involved in education. He himself is a father of two high school children in Illinois. He's a current and former union member. He's a former Democrat. In 2013, he decided to leave the Democratic Party because, well, look what they've done to your father's Democratic Party. I'm going to tell you, his frustration culminated, by the way, with COVID. And he's always been a no-nonsense South Side of Chicago Italian. And that's going to come out in this great exchange. I've grown to love this man. I love his boldness, his frankness, and the fact that he will touch you in a way. No, not he will touch, he will inspire you. He will educate you. He will make you laugh, make you cry, make you angry. Make you laugh, though. But get things done. He serves really as a mentor, not just to people like me, but to everyone. The guy's a fireball. I'm so proud to have him on. Terry, oh, and by the way, he's got a podcast. You've got to tune into this. Him and Paul Draber, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. You just have to subscribe, watch, or listen to the podcast. It's fantastic. So with me is Terry Newsom. Terry, how are you, sir?
Great. Thanks for the introduction. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. You know, the things I learned about you this weekend and our talks, and wow, man, you have gone through it. I don't even know where to start. Where do you want to start? Because we got so much stuff going on right now with news, but we also have you out there just kicking behinds, and the things that you've sent me just delight me in terms of your fight against this this wacko, out of control, rogue government that we face. So where do you want to start?
Sure. I've never been involved in politics my whole life. You know, I was raised, as you mentioned, in the southwest side of Chicago. My father was a union member for the city of Chicago, labor's union. And my uncle was a president of the gas union. I'm still in Screen Actors Guild. I worked in the film industry in front and behind the camera unions, two unions. And all I knew was being a Democrat. I wasn't an active Democrat. I never, you know, was active. And like many people, when you got older, you know, you started paying attention. When we have children, and I switched careers, you know, changed my, I became one of those, I guess, bad one percenters that didn't pay our fair share after being a blue collar union worker that lived in a 700 square foot house. And I started like, oh my God, I'm not paying my fair share. That's what I've been taught about these things. Like, I'm getting raped here. And so I started paying attention, and I listened more instead of just listening to my mom and my neighborhood. And I started watching the cable news, and I'm like, wow, you know, it started opening my, I started watching Fox News and listening to Rush Limbaugh in the car when I go to sales calls. And that's really what started making me see, you know, the other side, because they're all programmed. You're programmed from your neighborhood, right? And you only hear, no, what you're taught or what you have access to. So that kind of started me slowly gravitating. And then I have a 31-year-old daughter from my first marriage. And then I have twins, as you mentioned, that are now seniors in high school. And 3 years ago, when they were starting freshman year, I knew about the forced masking and then the pornography. My first snapshot, my twins were in eighth grade, right before they graduated. My son, the kids are like us. They're Republicans. My daughter's a passive one. My son is like us. And he comes home. He's like, Dad, you're not going to believe what my teacher told us today. I'm like, what? She said there's no such thing as the American dream. I'm like, what? I go, did you hear it? He was only in eighth grade. I go, sit down. You know, he sat down on the sofa and he goes, yeah, she said that it's not real. It's not attainable for everyone. It's over promoted. I'm like, no way. Are you sure? He goes, yeah. So I called the principal, left a message of what I heard. And I said, I hope my son's wrong. I hope he misunderstood what he heard. And then he calls me back. He talked to the teacher and he goes, well, he goes, you know, Anthony heard correctly, but it wasn't being taught as a lesson. It was more a discussion topic. I go, it doesn't matter if it's a lesson that shouldn't be said to these children. And it doesn't matter what their color, race, gay, not, whatever. Every one of these kids should think they could go to Mars. And nobody, especially a teacher, should tell them the American dream is not attainable. Now, that might be true now after what Biden did over the last 3 years. But, I was like, what the heck? And I told him, I go, listen, the kids are graduating in 3 weeks, so I'm not going to make a big deal of it. Well, little did I know things were going to get way worse when they went into high school, right? With the drag queens and porn, the sexualization, the CRTs, like, oh my God, you know? So, I was just shocked. And I was shocked that there was not enough dads helping the moms. When I first went to the school board meeting, they all got kicked out because one of the moms went over her 3 minutes. And there was like 12 moms and a dad out in front. I introduced myself. I only spoke to him on the phone or via email. And I was like, well, what do you mean the 3 minutes? I'd never been to a board meeting. And I go, and so they just kicked you out? Yeah, they said they had a closed meeting. They were like punishing them. I already heard about the school board. I said, listen, I go, I'm going to teach you how to fight like an ex-Southwest Side Democrat union member. I go, and I said, I don't know if I'll win elections, but I'll tell you, I'll give them the same lack of disrespect they're giving you guys. And sure enough, you know, here we are today. I mean, there's so many things that happened from that point to where we are today. And I started blowing up the big posters from the book Genderqueer. Are you familiar with that book, Doug?
Oh, sadly, yes. Do I have to be, though? I mean, yes, yeah. I am. Yeah. And I love it because you went out there and folks, this is, if nothing else, if you get nothing else out of this, Terry Newsom is going to really relay how we should be fighting. I'm telling you, this is a guy to emulate, to follow, to listen to. Go ahead, sir.
Sure. Have you ever had Chris Adamo on your show?
No.
Rules for Defeating. Oh my God, you got to have him on your show. He's an older gentleman. Rules for Defeating Radicals. Yeah. I met him through somebody else. He's been on my show twice. He's an older gentleman from Missouri. That's the playbook for fighting against Saul Alinsky. Where do I live? Right? In the epicenter of that. And that was the stuff I kind of did naturally. And I think the Democrats and the unions kind of do that naturally, even though I wasn't active, right? I would see their behavior and how they attack. And, you know, they use humor too. They use all, you know, aggressive. Oh, you know, the threat of what's going to happen is sometimes worse than the real, you know, the act itself. And I kind of was naturally doing a lot of that. And then Chris has been a coach. I love Chris Adamo. You got to have him on your show. You got to look up his book. Because it's exactly what we're doing. You know what he says is more dangerous than the radical leftists is the rhinos, Doug. I don't know if you agree. I agree with them.
Oh, 100% I do. And I know our audience does as well. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I blew up the big posters from Genderqueer, the big nasty posters. And I went to the school board meeting and I brought them. You know, the one image is, a girl wearing a strap on and a young man performing oral sex to her.
Yep.
And then they're telling us that's not pornography because the author's intent is not to stimulate and arouse. Oh, and by the way, gay children need to see that. If they don't, they won't feel included or they might commit suicide. I swear to you, that's what they say. You know, and I couldn't get anybody to hold those posters for me because they were scared. And I'm like, oh, I'm not scared. Remember, this is in the beginning, right before I knew it was ahead of me. So I'm like, I ain't scared. Screw that, you know. And so I had to get fathers in the neighborhood, Proud Boys that are fathers. They're fathers. They're not racist. They're not any of that stuff that they said. So I know a guy over here, and I said, could you come with some of the guys and hold my posters and come as fathers? Don't dress as your Proud Boy stuff. Don't do your Proud Boy. I need you to hold these posters. I don't need to distract from why we're here. Oh, yeah, sure. And they came. They hold my posters. One of the moms in the audience on the left, radical Democrat, Democratic social media manager, Antifa BLM woman. I didn't know that at the time. She was there. She took photos of us every time we would speak. They pop up on Antifa's website. And I'm like, oh, somebody over there is like with Antifa, you know, because it was popping up all over and there, me and other fathers. And so sure enough, she knew. They had the Sun Times and other reporters there. They made 3 full page spread. First page, Proud Boys take over Downers Grove High School Board meeting. Not a total 1,000% lie. They didn't. No one said they were Proud Boys. They didn't do anything Proud Boys. Matter of fact, it was the left that was more aggressive than any parent on the right. And the other guys, they just hold my posters. But of course, in true fashion of mainstream media, what do? They lie. And then they try to say, we're trying to hold materials away from gay children. We're trying to take materials that support those children to feel included. And when I speak, I go, I got boy-girl twins. Neither one of my children are heterosexual. And they don't come to me and say, I could see my son. Hey, Dad, I need to see a BJ book in school, or if not, a heterosexual one, because I won't feel included. Matter of fact, I might start slicing my wrists or commit suicide if I see that. That's what the left is saying about these books, to try to discredit us and make us look like evil, bad people. I said they're children, just like my children are. Those children don't have to see oral sex strap-ons to feel included, or hear about anal sex in some of those books to feel included. Now, I held up a book that said, The Times I Knew I Was Gay. I hold that up in front of those scumbags and say, this is in the school. This helps the children cope with their sexuality. There's nothing wrong with this book. Nothing wrong with it. You want to provide books like that, or maybe scenarios where it has some interaction of, you know, gay kids, whatever, but you don't have to dive headfirst into kinky, nasty sex, right? And descriptive sex. It's not necessary for those kids to feel included in high school, nor should we pay for those books and put them into the school with our tax money. Oh, your kids could get that or more on the laptops or on their phones. I'm like, well, that's probably true. But you know what? It's up to me as a father and my wife to do our best to mitigate that. It's not up to you to buy pornographic type material, tell me it's not pornographic material, and then put it in the school and then try to attack me when I say just get the porn out of the school. So I'm still very passionate about it.
We're buying that crap. We, you and I, as taxpayers, are buying that. And you're pointing this out. And by the way, what was the target audience there with respect to this?
This was in high school, 13 okay. But it's in grammar schools, you know. And this was 3 years. We were early on. Now it creeped in. It's in the grammar schools. And then they have Gender Unicorn. It's a softer version of that. But they also have gender, all the crazy stuff. And you know how the left is, right? Oh, it's not mandatory reading. In some of the schools, it is now over the summer. You know, it's their first step, right? And then they overreach, right?
Yep.
I was just checking out at Home Depot yesterday. Young kid there looked like my kid's age. I go, oh, do you go to Downers Grove South? He goes, oh, no, I go to North. And I said, oh, my God, I'm the dad that's fighting the porn, that, you know, because they're the same school district. I said, I was up there fighting that pornography. He goes, oh, were you guys the guy with the posters? And I'm like, yeah. They showed us a movie about you, you know, because they took films and stuff and they gave those kids awards for standing up against us nasty people in the face of the enemy. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? We have never been disrespectful ever, ever to those children. Never try to withhold anything from those children. And then the left, they demonize all of us parents is, you know, trying to inflict harm against these children. It's not true.
It's ridiculous how this is being pushed down our throats. And also, to your credit, too, I think you've gotten on the radar of not just the the school boards, but of course the FBI, the Department of Justice, you know, all of the leftist machinery that's fighting this lawfare against you. It's crazy. And you're trying to protect your children from this and other parents' children. And you're just getting, you're under fire for doing so. Go ahead.
It's everything Donald Trump says, right?
Yeah.
They're going through me to get to you. It's like, you know, next thing you know, I'm a domestic terrorist. Southern Poverty Law Center has a leftist University of Wisconsin PhD, total scumbag. He's an Antifa associate. And the parents from the leftist and that Antifa woman got him to do FOIAs of my interactions with the school board and the superintendent, and then come after me and try to make all these claims that I'm racist, I hate gay people, all this crazy stuff to try to run me into silence. All it did was piss me off more, Doug, and it didn't work. And they used the Southern Poverty Law Center as a tool, and you know this probably better than I, to come after us to try to discredit us, Moms for America, Moms for Liberty, my organization, Parents of Violent Education, No Left Turn, politicians on our side. And I was in D.C. two Junes ago with the Center for Self-Governance with other people that are being labeled. And I met with Senator Mike Lee and all these other congressmen and stuff, and they're looking in to withdrawing their nonprofit status because it's a weapon, it's a tool of the left. How could you come after parents groups like that and say nothing about Black Lives Matter and Antifa? Well, Antifa is part of their organization, as you see, like that one attorney that got arrested in Georgia. You know, the guy that wrote about me is absolutely an Antifa associate here in Chicago. And so they use that as a weapon to try to shame, harass, threaten us from speaking out. And people, and it's working, as you know, a lot of people are scared, right? They're scared. They try to go after your job, all this other crazy stuff. Fortunately, I think some of the corporations are starting to wake up, right? And are not paying attention to some of this garbage that they're pushing.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, continue, please. Because
I got involved. I mean, there's so, like, how do you, you know, kind of the highlights, right? So that's how and why I originally got involved.
Okay.
And I saw how bad it was with our schools. And, you know, I spoke with Charlie Kirk once in Chicago specifically about the school thing. And I'm like, man, they're trying to separate and distance us from our schools. And Charlie's done a great job is getting involved into the college level right now. He's in the high school level because they pretty much almost took over that. Right. Thank God for COVID. I mean, I don't mean thank God for COVID, but that opened our eyes. Right. And parents are starting to fight back and they're creeping into the grammar schools. So thank God for Charlie Kirk to do what he's doing at the college level. And then he's organized. Peter Christoff is in the Midwest, a TPUSA guy that knows my children and stuff. And they're organizing chapters throughout the country to get the kids involved at the high school level. Unfortunately, in Illinois, I think Peter has 45 chapters in high schools, but only like four or something are endorsed by the high school. I tried to open up one for my kids. They refused to let a Charlie Kirk organization get involved in with the high school kids, but they invite all the radical leftists to come in and speak and present, transgender people. You know, it's absurd.
Yeah, definitely a problem. And you've made some good headway into fighting this leftist agenda. You've been on, by the way, you've been on numerous shows. I can't count them all. But you're pretty well known in this movement, and all we're trying to do is protect our children, for crying out loud, from this pornography, from this leftist agenda. What's behind this? I mean, what's propelling this?
So again, you know, I'm on training wheels here, right? I mean, it's like, so it's the Marxist values, right? And trying to separate the children. It's like the Hitler Youth Program, right? Remember, you get familiar with that from the 1930s? It's identical to the Hitler Youth. Now leftists is going to hear us. Oh, they're crazy right wingers, right? Well, I mean, they are pushing this stuff down our kids. They're doing it in churches. They're doing it in the libraries, right? You could have so many different things to represent the gay community and be inclusive to kids, right? Why the hell do you got to have a transvestite go to Mike Downers Grove Library and sing Katy Perry songs and play bingo with a child, right?
Exactly.
Why do you have to do that to support the gay community? Oh, and by the way, the guy that they hired, his name was Aurora Devine. I did research on him. He's from Boys Town, which is the gay part of town, you know, and there's nothing wrong with drag shows for adults, right? this guy promoted himself as the most raunchiest, nasty performer in Boys Town. That they hired on purpose to go to our library to do this. And thank God we stopped it. Another one they had is drag Santa at the library. At the church downtown. You know, it's not my church, but it was, you know, the church. And it's like all the same whack jobs, right? From the school to the library to the church in Downers Grove turned into little San Francisco. So these freaks had transvestite Santa Claus come for children. And I went and dressed up as Santa, bad Santa. And this is back when we had to have masking on. And we had parents come. And some of the Proud Boys from the neighborhood showed up. HBO filmed it. I think I shared that with you. And yeah, I said to them, you know, they ran up to me right away with the boom and the camera. And why are you here? You know, and they only edited a little clip because the rest, I think, of what I said made sense. Yeah, you know, it's because you guys are trying to indoctrinate and sexualize our children. But I went on to say, there you go. There you go. And these guys brought presents and stuff, right? And then the parents were on the other side. They were on the other side. That's their tenets, anti-racism, all, I mean, everything that they lie about, these guys, you know what I mean? That's their core tenets, right?
Right.
And so what they did, I went on to say, I said, listen, I go, These children are innocent children. That's the transvestite Santa right there. These children are innocent children. I go, and these children that you're, that these are the parents. Oh no, that's the, here's me coming. I dropped my beard. So I had, thank God I had, it looks like bad Santa, kind of an accident, but it looked, worked out really well. And, they're calling them out, right? And I, these are the parents on the other side, right? So that's a grandfather. So Doug, you know what? It's like people our age or older and moms, right? And the Proud Boys are the young guys. But outside of that, the fathers are not getting involved in helping us. The guys that should be involved. It's guys like that. You know, these guys that are out there doing it, there should be fathers, you know, normal executive businessmen helping us and defending our children. But they're scared. So it's moms, grandmas, and grandpas, and it shouldn't be like that. And these are the kids that have the freaked out leftist parents, all freaks, their parents, and they're pushing this stuff down their children's throats. And what I went on to say to these, the HBO folks, is these children that believe in Santa, that typically go and see trans Santa, any Santa, they believe that Santa's real. They also believe that the gifts their parents give them come from Santa Claus, right? The imaginary gifts. So why are you incorporating a sexual preference of a trans Santa into innocent children who don't know if Santa's a, you know, care? They don't know care if Santa's a boy or girl, wants to be a girl, and he's a boy. Does he have a penis or the type of sex? Why are you including sexuality type behavior into an innocent child that cares about Santa Claus and his presence, right? You're doing this for us. You're doing this to sexualize the children. You're not doing this because these children need to see a transgender Santa or they're going to kill themselves. It's bullshit. I don't know if you agree with that statement.
I totally do. You know, what surprises me is the little resistance that these perverts are getting from the really the mainstream majority population. People like you and people like me, we should be out there taking a stand, fighting against this, holding the school boards to account. They are grooming our children. You know, I remember back when Obergefell was coming. Oh, we just want to be able to marry the one we love. You know that, or we just want to be able to buy a cake. And then it goes all the way down that curve to not where we're at today. The perversion of our children, the most innocent among us, is unforgivable. And the fact that you stood up, you're standing up, and you're developing really an army, the way I look at it, to stand up with you. But boy, the number of people AWOL from that army is just astounding. We need to gather the men of our community, the grandfathers, the fathers, and say, no, enough is enough. And if necessary, drag these school board people, you know, from their seats. And I'm saying of course, within the law, until the law fails to work. But, you know, get them the hell out of our schools. And yeah, that's what we need to do. But no, that was fantastic. What kind of resistance there did you get? I mean, how can a leftist defend what they're doing to their children? I mean, what did you hear?
They're very easy. They lie, just like everything else they do. They lie.
They lie.
And they lie about why we're objecting to the issues, right? Why we're objecting. They're saying that we want to keep materials that make gay children feel included. No, we're against pornography, right? We're against forcing this stuff down the throats of innocent children. Here's another thing this library did. Downers Grove Library, radical leftist scum, man. The whole board, now that they got rid of the only Republican on the board, they got rid of him. It's all leftist, and he was the only person that would fight back. So now they took it a step further, and they had, last month, Pride book reading for 2-year-old to 6-year-olds. Doug, tell me, what is a 2-year-old kid? Do 2-year-old children know that they're gay? And if they do, they have to hear about Pride, or they won't feel included.
No.
It's absurd. They're discrediting themselves with their radical overreach. There's no way that stuff like that should be presented to a 2-year-old child, unless you have some intent, right? I mean, there's many children that kind of girls that are tomboys or whatever, then change as they get older. But if you inject this stuff at an early age, it might persuade them to think that they're going to be something different than just a young tomboy.
Mm.
So they'll attack us for hearing that. Oh, he's going to, it's like, no, I'm not, sometimes I unlike some of the, right. I do believe there's something in genes and sometimes, and I'm not saying let's deprogramming at all. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is there's many children, many girls, there are tomboys that grow up to be beautiful. All they want to do is play with boys and boy stuff. And then they change. I mean, I've, met kids like that when I was in grammar school and stuff. But if you start normalizing this and pushing it into them, you might make them think, well, maybe I am, right? When they're not.
And then who are these doctors and medical professionals that will prescribe these puberty blockers and actually perform deformative surgery on these children? Who are these doctors that are doing this? I mean, and nurses, medical. I mean, I don't understand it.
They're evil, radical creeps. They're evil, radical creeps. So think about it. My kids go to school. I want to give them an aspirin, Doug. I got to get a letter.
Yeah.
For an aspirin or doctors when they got, take antibiotics for a cold. Oh, but by the way, if my son wants to become a girl and my daughter wants to become a boy, they could do whatever they want, not even tell me about it. That's how crazy they are.
What are you doing now, in your area, given the fact that the school board has apparently been taken over by these leftist freaks? You're continuing your fight, right? I mean,
I throttled back on that because there's the other things that we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
it's a priority, but here's the problem in Illinois, and I think I sent you the one video on it, the book banning bill that Pritzker, Pritzker and Newsom are trying to one up each other as the most radical scumbag in the country, right? And Pritzker put in a book banning bill. So say we take over the school board, to your point, let's get rid of these. Crazy pornographic books, not the LGBTQ books, the ones that just happen to have anal and oral sex in it. And we said, okay, yeah, let's get rid of them. So Pritzker signed a bill going forward, and this applies to schools, libraries, colleges, grammar schools. And if we make that decision at the local level and we do all that work and effort to win our school boards over to be able to make that decision, he withholds our own tax dollars for our children from the state of Illinois, from the school. He put that video clip I sent you was about the book banning bill. He put that in place last June, Junes ago.
That's not surprising. Do we have that video, by the way? Eric the Tech? Yeah, Eric the Tech is looking for that.
He had Pritzker, Janulius, and me, all speaking, on the back. Those guys hate me, and they know who I am. I'm kind of proud of that.
Absolutely.
I don't call them by their real names. I call them BJ Prickster. And then Janulius, I call him Janulius. We got those two clowns, and they need to be treated with the same disrespect and lack of respect that they treat us, our children, and our country with.
And I'm right there with you. I believe the reason we're here today in this position is we've been too tolerant of this. It's not because it's not us who are intolerant. It's the left. It's this crap agenda that they've got to sully and to corrupt our children because they want our children. And these people are groomers. And by the way, I'm talking to you, Channel 5, Phil Williams. That aside, that's a story for a different day, but people like that, people who want to see our children corrupted, this is evil to its core. And, mm-hmm. You know, and we have to fight against this mm-hmm. because our children are the most precious among us, and we have to protect them. And shame on all of you parents out there who failed to stand with Terry Newsom and fight with him. Shame on you, because you could have been fighting with him. And if it's a lack of guts, reach down inside you and find your guts. All right. So do we have that or no? Not yet. Not okay. All right. Continue on with this conversation, my friend.
Okay, so I saw that, and I'm like, okay, and I started learning about some of the Marxist stuff and what they try to do, right? Control the children, control that. I mean, Jesus, right? Look what happened at our age, you know, like with our age and the colleges and university after Vietnam War.
Oh, yeah.
They took over the colleges with those radical leftists from the 60s, right? And it was around our generation we started going to college where these people a little older than us were becoming professors, and they were radicalized. And then they got worse and worse and worse, and they kept teaching, and they controlled, and they polluted, and they poisoned the minds of all these college students. And now everything flip-flop. You got all the big corporations, social media, they're leftists, right? My mom used to tell me, you know, when I was talking about, you know, like I'm wanting to maybe be, you know, Republican, oh, they're evil. Those are evil money corporations, and they control the country, and it flip-flopped, right? Now you got people like myself. You got all these African-American and my friends and the minorities, and you got to get them on the show. I'll get you too. My one buddy was a head of the NAACP for his chapter in Chicago. They're like all Trump, you know, and we were on with Ben Burkwam on a Bannon show. And I really never thought about this, right? I'm not a prover of reparations at all by any means. That's a whole different story. But, you know, when he was on the show, he's like, yeah, I believe in reparations. I go, I think we should get reparations from the Democrats. They're the ones that enslaved us. They're the ones that did Jim Crow. They're the ones that enslaved us through the government. I'm thinking, you know what? Hey, we should get behind that, right? So the people are waking up. I don't know if they're waking up quick enough. Doug, I hope they do, because, you know, Illinois is beyond the point of no return. America is just to the left of that, right? And if we don't wake up and we don't win this election, we are done. We are at the point of no return.
And then people say,
we're going to be in a civil war. How many people, you know, like guys like, you know, that don't fight. They won't even come sit in a school board and be, oh, yeah, I'm ready to throw down. We're going to fight, man. There's going to be a civil war. You know, I got an AR-15, you know, a nice shiny one. He probably never shot, but they get to say they have one. I'm like, you know, you guys aren't even ready and willing to go on the school board and even sit next to me, let alone when the shit gets started, when the stuff gets going and fight. You ain't going to fight. You're not going to win a civil war. You're too soft. Our side is too soft. Unlike their side, right? They got a million of me. I stand out just from trying to do the right thing for our children. And it shouldn't be like that. You know what I mean? I should be an unknown nobody just defending our children. There's not enough people on our side willing to do that. So when the rubber hits the road and we go to war, right? Oh, the AR-15s and the Republicans have way more guns. Ain't going to do anything, unfortunately. And I don't want it to go there. Right. But just in general, everything that we're doing, just like you asked them to help and fight and stuff, they got to wake up. They owe it to their children. They owe it to their grandchildren, their future. They owe it to the people that died for our country. These people are Marxist, communist, evil people, including some of them on the right.
Oh, yeah.
And if we don't take our country back, there's not going to be a country. And yes, I don't want to lose my job. You know, union leaders, you know, I talk to them and they're like kind of like agreeing with us. And so I'm like, you know, how important is your union or how important is your job? And yes, jobs, we need to sustain our family and stuff. But if we don't have a country, right? If we don't have a country, what the hell good is a job? Union, non-union, doctor, right? Well, what good is it? We're working for our children, our families, our future, and we're watching our future slip away slowly while people are got soft, weak, frayed, and worried about the short-term vision of, you know, their income and stuff. Again, everybody needs a job. I'm not diminishing that, right? So sorry, I'm getting out of my
spot. No, but you know what though, with that, because I've got a feel or a theory, I guess, behind that. If you are, well, you're located in the south side of Chicago, right? I mean, that's...
No, I grew up southwest side of Chicago. I'm in the western suburbs now.
Okay, all right. So you're in the western suburbs of Chicago. So whatever the industries might be around you, the businesses, you know, if enough business people got together and stood with you, what would those businesses do? Would they fire everybody? I don't think that would be the case. It's kind of like when you resist at a TSA checkpoint, resist their groping you and radiate, whatever it might be. You know, yeah. One is a dust up. One, you do it by yourself, it's not going to really make much of a difference. You get a half a dozen, maybe you might have some eyes on you. If you get 100 or 200 or 500 people to say, no, you're not going to do this. No, this is not within the Constitution. Then we have something to fight with. And I think the numbers count. We can win on the numbers alone, but we're not. And yeah. That's a sad thing.
Yeah, my gauge. So first of all, the southwest side is mostly union city workers, right? And so they're kind of like, you know, got to be careful. But my gauge for what you just said and getting people to stand up, think about it. If you can't get fathers to come sit in a school board, and when you show them this pornography, you show them the transvestites that are walking in there talking to your kids, and the left makes room for them to speak to them, right? To talk to them, to indoctrinate them. How can we expect them to do what we're doing? It's just not going to happen. I don't know how to make a change. Why I'm doing this is I'm trying to give people encouragement and hope and say, hey, you got to wake up and fight. And the stuff that I'm doing and some of the stuff we're going to talk about is to show the truth of what's really going on here. Exactly. Right. Especially like all over the country. A New York Post reporter came in and a cameraman last week and about the illegals, and they're doing a story on it. And it's like, well, this hasn't, you know, I've covered it myself and being on shows like yours and, you know, other shows and in my little show and, you know, Gateway Pundit. But it's not been like New York Post is going to be, she's like, well, nobody's covering it like in a big way because they don't want to cover it. And we have to show it's our job is to try to get people exposed to this stuff with your show, everything that you're doing, right? And in newspapers and Substacks and all that stuff, and just hope and spread the word to people so they know. They think it's bullshit that they're not eating cats and animals there. Well, wait a minute. They do that kind of in China. You know, I mean, you see that. You know that for sure. They do it in Haiti.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, we're right-wing conspiracy theorists to say, because you got to show them the evidence and show them the body cam footage and things like that. Oh, it's fake news. And we have to do that to help hopefully wake people up or shame them into saying, you owe this to your child. You owe this to your future grandchild. You owe this to your grandfather who might have died for the war, or your brother or fighting in combat. And that's the least you could do is get off your sorry ass with your, you know, BMW or whatever you got and help contribute towards the future of our country for our children.
And sadly, the people driving the Escalades, the BMWs, the that live in these large homes. Sadly, to me, they're not moving, doing anything to move the needle. They're not engaging people. But I think you're right. We need to. We need to shame these people out of office, shame them out of our communities, and do what we need to do to get the truth out there. You mentioned the illegals and the cat the pet consumption. Yeah. You know, it was it amazed me how quickly that was fact checked during the debate with Mattress Back Harris. Now, even in light of the fact that we have video evidence to show that this is taking place, yet people are not people are they refusing to believe this? I mean, what's going on in the minds of people in the minds of otherwise sensible Americans? What the hell's going on in their minds? What do you think about all of this?
And we talked, I think, on the phone was this morning or yesterday about there's two types of Dummycrats, right? and you got the ones that are purposefully trying to destroy America, right? Purposefully, right? They're trying to destroy their way of life, you know, with the World Economic Forum, and, you know, it's going to be better for everyone else if they knock us down, right? And they're all behind that. And they're being paid, these politicians and business corporations, right, are being paid. They're being bribed. They're being paid off, right, to destroy us. And you got the Democrats like my mom and dad, 85 years old, they're now Republicans. My mom is like a Trump crazy granny on Facebook. And my mom, who used to give me, you know, push back when I was starting to, you know, transition to being a Republican. And so her friends are all still Democrats. They're people from the Southwest side. I got a lot of friends that are still Democrats, right? Most of them converted. But those people are either ill-informed, brainwashed like the media or like what we talked about, the universities, and they don't see anything else. And all they hear is the lies. But those that are purposely trying to destroy our country are my enemy, and they're enemies of my children. Those that are too stupid and unaware,
yep,
and they support those that are destroying America, the outcome is the same. It doesn't mean if they're not purposefully trying to destroy America or not, the outcome is the same. So these idiots, the ones that are still left and believe all this crap, are also my enemy. And they're an enemy of America, and they're an enemy of my country.
Amen.
Does that mean I go to war with that? You know, no, that's not, no. But if you want to attack Trump or attack me or my views, I will go to war with you, and I'll slam you, and I'll put the evidence in front of you. And they don't listen to it because they're brainwashed idiots. You can't, you know, if it wasn't for the media right now, there would not be a Democratic Party. Even if the media was like, I'd say 80-20, we had 20%, there would not be a Democratic Party. Because of the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, do we have a commercial break coming up at all?
We do. Well, we don't. But yeah, actually, yes, yes.
The prostate cancer thing, I gotta go to the bathroom.
and folks, yeah.
About or whatever, right? Please.
Go ahead. No, I do. Thanks for reminding me. Otherwise, man, I get fired for doing this or not doing this. Folks, we're talking with Terry Newsom. I'm going to tell you something. The man is a machine. He's a machine against the apparatus that is coming at us to take our children, to take our country away from us. And he's doing so, as you just heard, with a variety of health problems. And I was thinking about this weekend. If he can do this, if he can go out there and fight through what he's going through on a personal basis, on a physical way, man, there's no excuse for any of us. And I hold him out to really to be a hero of mine. But before he gets back, I just want to mention this. You know, we're talking about our kids, and one thing that I'm very excited about are the backpacks from darkbags.com. Now, all of the products at the satellite phone store is at 123.com, but specifically those from Dark Bags. I love just looking at the various products there. You have Faraday bags for your satellite and cell phone. You've got escape zone shield Faraday ballistic backpacks. You know, it's sad that we have to talk about these products, needing these products, or having the products like a bullet or, you know, ballistic backpack for our kids. What the heck? But it's better to have it and never need it than to need it and not have it. I'm telling you, what the people at satellite phone store have done is create a product, quality product, that I can give to my grandkids. Not my children, but my grandkids. And they can use, take it to class, and if something does happen, they have a bulletproof ballistic backpack. And hey, even if they're old enough to have a cell phone, you can actually use the ballistic backpack to insert your the cell phone inside. And it's really, it's dead. It can't track you. But you know what Faraday bags do. Folks, go to darkbags.com and please tell them that you heard about them at the Hagman Report. Tell them Doug Hagman sent you. And again, you're talking about personal safety, the escape zone dual protection Faraday ballistic backpack. You're talking about the peace of mind it brings, especially, think about what we just witnessed yesterday with the assassination attempt, the second one in 64 days against President Trump. And what if, what if members of the crowd in Butler would have had maybe a backpack with them? I don't even know if you can take them into the protected area, but maybe that could have afforded someone with additional protection. Look, I don't know, but I do know this. I feel better with my grandchildren when they go out to have this level of protection. So folks, please do me a favor. Go to darkbags.com or call them at 941-231-7530. And while you're there, check out the satellite phones, check out the Bivy sticks, check out all of their products. You will not be sorry. Again, darkbags.com or their phone number, 941-231-7530. And folks, while I'm talking about this too, Behind Enemy Lines, the podcast with Terry Newsom and Paul Drabik, I gotta say this. I've got limited time to listen and to view different things. And they have a great broadcast podcast every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. And they get into a lot of different things. And in fact, I was looking at a couple of them this weekend. I was going to play, have Eric play a part of one. I thought, No, I'm not going to do that because the man, Terry Newsom, is, live and well, man. I'm telling you what, he is a joy to have. In person and spontaneous and contemporaneous. So with that, I bring back Terry Newsom. Terry, thanks so much. And again, your website, fightingbehindenemylines.com. That's fightingbehindenemylines.com. But I appreciate all you do. I really do.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. This is all part of what we need to do, all of us together, right? We're all, yeah. It's all part of, I should have sent you that. I did an interview with the new federal state of China. You ever heard of them?
I have, yes.
And it's kind of funny. It's like, I don't know, it was like a year or so ago. And these, a lot of young reporters and stuff, right? And their parents are locked up in China, right? Chinese dissidents.
Yep.
And, they tell me some of the stories and stuff. I feel sympathetic. Oh, I didn't see his dad for 10 years. And when I was during my interview, I'm like, they're obviously against the communist China. I said, listen, Americans, if you guys don't wake up quickly, we're going to be like these young kids here. We're going to be in another country doing our shows, right, Doug? We'll be doing our shows in another country. I don't know what that country would be, trying to save our country from outside and save it from the within from outside. Because,
exactly.
And people have to wake up and understand we're going to be like these young people here in this organization trying to save their country from America. I believe that in my heart. My wife is like, why you? And after that, they had the feds here and all, the terrorist watch list. I didn't even send you the pictures of what they did to my family and my wife.
Let's talk about that, because I want people to know what you've, here you are. Now you're suffering from cancer. You're fighting cancer. You're fighting other physical ailments. Generally, people in your position would be laying on the couch, you know, sipping tea and not being involved. Yet here you are, just kicking ass, man. And I love it. So, but what happened with respect to your actions and the feds? I mean, let's talk about that, because we got to talk about the blowback.
Yeah, so we went to January 6th. Me and a friend of mine who's a year older than me, he's in great shape. He was a SWAT team guy. He retired right before January 6th, asked me to go. I'm like, no. January 5th, I was at University of Chicago Hospital. I was on an IV for stage 3 melanoma. I was under treatment for that at that point in time. I had to go every 3 weeks to get an IV. And I'm like, I'm not going to go, Rob. You know, I was like, come on, I'll drive. You just relax. And I'm like, okay. Wife was very upset with that. And, we went for two things. We went there to see our president speak, and then we went there because of what we saw happen in November and December. If you recall how Antifa would go into the hotels, overturn tables, and attack people, right? And matter of fact, in December, there was like 4 people stabbed by them, but they, when the media talks about it, oh, 4 people are stabbed. They don't say it was people from our side. You know, I mean, the Proud Boys or whoever they were, they don't say that. They just say, you know, Proud Boys, they try to discredit it, right? And say that the violence, and then they have counter-protesters. Counter-protesters is code for Antifa and Black Lives Matter.
Right.
They're the ones that come to our events and start the trouble, try to scare and intimidate and harass parents. And you saw it, families, people walking with their children, right?
Yep.
And so we went there for that. And, I'm glad it was, you know, and then the left, they always pile on, right? It was a proud moment of my life. I don't condone those that fought with the police officers. I was with the police officer. There was no planned insurrection. I didn't know about it. I wouldn't have went if there was an insurrection. There was no, it wasn't planned. There was agitators there. Within the midst from Antifa, and I got video, and that could be a whole separate show in itself. And it's no different than what I caught. I don't think I sent you the video. I finished it last night when me and Ben were inside the DNC with the Hamas, outside the DNC with the Hamas parade, and the Antifa guys, and got them agitating their own people. I just finished that video last night. They did the same thing. They tore down the gates. They went in the restricted area. They're like, come on. And this, the exact same thing that we experienced at January 6th and in the middle of the Hamas parade outside.
Wow.
Exact same thing.
Okay.
Identical. And I lost my train of thought. Well,
go on. You were at the Capitol, and of course, you know, they're still putting away one person per day, roughly, from January 6th of 2021. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, we didn't go in. We were there. I got video behind that Ray Epps guy. I got, you know, we had a flagpole and a camera. You know, we didn't hurt anyone. We didn't touch anyone. Didn't even yell or scream. It was kind of like, holy shit. I swear to God. It was like, oh my God. I can't, you know, and we were there filming all the stuff. We were there right behind Epps from the very beginning. That video, because I don't think I even sent you that. There's so much we could talk about. I got a video that is almost identical to the one that was all over the news with Ray Epps. And me and Rob were behind him. And I'm like, what's up with that guy? I swear, I sent on January 11th, I sent that to an investigative reporter, WGN, Ben Bradley, Democrat. I know him from some other stuff he covered here. And he basically said, oh, that's bullshit. It's, you know, I got the text message. I go, I don't know who this guy is. He doesn't look like Antifa or BLM. And didn't think about the government infiltrating and stuff. But I go, he's up to no good. And the guy, I got the text. I mean, it's time stamped. I'm not lying. You know what I mean? It's the truth. And little did I know, that was the Ray Epps that came out. I was like, holy cow. Right. And I went back to the reporter. I'm like, you had this 6 months before anybody, if you would have looked into it or believed me.
Yeah.
You know, so we were there. We left before people went into the Capitol, before they got past the police by the bleachers. Right. I was so tired. You know, I'm like, Rob, I go, I can't, you know, I could hardly stand. And, you know, I had to lay down on the grass as we retreated from there. And it wasn't until we got back to the hotel. I sit down. I'm like, oh, my God. I go, they're in the Capitol. That's how we found out. Right.
Wow.
So, of course, the left lies about that. That guy from Southern Poverty Law Center, he started tagging me. This is almost 2 years after January 6th. They went off their rocker when I confronted the the library transvestite and the church transvestite. So they did a full court press on Doug on me and tried to go after my job and all this crazy stuff. And then they got that guy to write that Southern Poverty Law Center hit piece of a bunch of garbage. And I was told by people that are in this game, you know, oh, that's a badge of honor. You should be proud. I'm like, I don't know if it's a badge of honor. You know, now I wear it as a badge of honor. But, you know, I was like, oh, my God, this is going to destroy me. I wasn't familiar with them. Now, it's basically like the National Enquirer of left radical leftists. And it's a joke. But at the time, I was very distraught. You know, I was like, oh, my God, these scumbags, you know. And then I started getting tagged on Twitter by the Antifa guys, and they're tagging the FBI and Chicago FBI. And then this guy, this scumbag, Jeff Tischler, the author, wrote on Twitter, oh, we asked Terry Newsom. Terry Newsom tried to overthrow the government, and we asked him why. No response. Guy never asked me that. I didn't try to overthrow the government. I was so I wouldn't have went there. I was so exhausted. There was no weapons. No, you know, we left before. And that's how they lie. They lie like everything else they do. Yeah. Right. About even telling the truth of what a woman is. They lie. And that's part of their battle plan. And unfortunately, it works because they have the media behind them. So after I started getting tagged like that, we were going to Charlie Kirk's event two Decembers ago. And my twins got to bring, as VIP guests, they got to bring two friends, 15-year-olds. Oh. My wife, who hates politics, went. We made a little vacation. And then I go to O'Hare Airport, and they couldn't print my boarding pass. We went early. We went to ticketing because we couldn't print it on our phone. I thought, because we have these two minors that aren't our children, right? I'm a platinum flyer. I got TSA pre-check. They couldn't print my ticket. I'm like, what's up? I go, we're all together. So I take my family through the TSA pre-check for the platinum. You know, I get them through there. I say, hey, they're with me. I'm waiting for my ticket. And then I go back over to the line, and I'm like, what's up? I go, what are you on? Well, help desk. You know, she's on the phone. I didn't know she was on the phone with DC. She didn't tell me. I didn't know that at the time, right? And then I see they're taking my family out of the line, you know, four agents. And I run over. I go, what are you guys doing? They go, oh, we have to go through a higher level security process. I go, for what? Oh, it must be a mistake.
Must be a mistake. Like, yeah. Okay.
Back over here. I'm like, what's going on? I go, I'm going to miss my ticket, my plane. And then she finally goes, here, use this. This will get you past the security. Then they'll get your boarding pass at the gate. Still, I didn't expect know what was going on. So I get up to the agent. All of a sudden he goes on his phone, or his radio, calls over supervisor, shuts the whole line down to everyone. Tell them to go in another line. We're going to have this shut down for 20 minutes. And I'm like, what's this? He goes, you're a quad S. That's the, you know, that's what they use to label us.
Oh, yeah.
Like, tell Gabber.
Yep.
Yeah. And so I didn't know what that meant. And then so I had to go through all this high security. I'm like, I'm going to miss my flight, man, my family. And then the one guy told me, yeah, he goes, this has got to be a mistake or your name's similar to somebody else. So then I run to the gate and I get there and they just close the plane. I'm like, oh, my family's on there. And then the agent goes, oh, what's your name? And she's like, no, your family's not on there. I'm like, where's my family? And here comes my son running because they took them somewhere else to search them, you know. And I'm like, I'm confused. You know, my wife gets there. And so a black guy comes up that works for American Airlines. Well, my family's there. And he goes, man, he goes, you're on a list with really bad people, man. I'm like, really? Wow. And so then we go to try to get in another flight at a different gate. And then the ladies look at each other. She's like, wow, I've never saw this before. I'm like, what? And she goes, do you have any weapons on you? I'm like, I already went through security, you know? And then they had a call. They said they had to call Homeland Security out of Washington. And they gave boarding passes for my family. And they, you know, I said, hey, them go to the gate while I'm at this other gate waiting forever. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to miss this flight again. Well, I didn't know at the time they had to get approval to even print me out a pass. Right. Wow. And so I'm running to the gate to say goodbye to my family. And I was going to go back there and they were just about ready to board. I'm like, oh, I don't know what, you know, what's up. And then the agent said, oh, yeah, here you cleared. And I got my boarding pass. So then on the way back. It's such a long story, but I went there early to go through all the crap. And then my family was able to print out their tickets to go through normally. They went through security while I'm waiting for mine. They're at the gate. I go through TSA after all the bullshit. And then one agent, they call four agents when they see me, right? Quad S.
Yep.
Weapons and all that stuff. And I'm like, no, you're traveling with anyone? Like, oh yeah, my family and my wife and kids and two other kids. Well, they have to come through here. And I'm like, why? They go, they have to come through here. Everybody. I go, well, I was just at the, with the ticketing and I was on hold with the TSA. I'm sorry, Homeland Security. And the agent said, hey, his family's through there. And matter of fact, my wife talked to them. And she goes, I am Homeland Security. Nobody's flying anywhere till they come back here.
Nice.
And my wife was very upset, and they had to go through all that shit in front of everyone. I got pictures of that. I forgot to send them to you. And so then when I went to CPAC, they sent five agents to the gate after I went through that, high security, and undercover marshals. And I got pictures of that as well. This time I took those. And then they searched before I board the plane. And everybody's looking at me when I get on the plane. I go, listen, I always see it in the exit row aisle. And everyone's looking at me. I go, listen, I go, I'm not a terrorist, all right? I go, I'm one of those school board dads. I was at January 6th. I don't know why I'm on this list. I go, I'm not a terrorist. And half the plane laughs. The other half gives me a frown,
And so,
January, I know there's so, how much time we have. I'm trying to cover. There's so much. What do we got? 15 minutes left.
We got about 25 minutes roughly.
Okay. And so, 2 years afterwards in January, I get a text message from a guy named John Wilson. He is a chief. He's a counsel for Matt Gaetz. We know about your situation. Could you please call me tomorrow? So I knew that was good news, right? And so I call him. Young attorney, and then knows what's going on. Epic Times, I shared just, they wrote a number of stories on it, on what was going on, and plus the local trade magazines, and it caught their attention. And I said, well, how'd you get my number? He goes, well, Jim Jordan's office. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So they said they're going to try to help me out. And that was in January. By that March, or first week of March, the demand letter went to Garland, Ray, and Mayorkas from Matt Gaetz on congressional letterhead, demanding to know why they're doing this to me. Is it because I peacefully attended January 6th, like a million other people, I think they said? Or is it use a very vocal, outspoken school board parent? Are you keeping track of vocal school board parents? Are you keeping track of everybody who was in D.C. at that time? There was four questions. So the scumbags, the Three Stooges, Garland, Ray, and Mayorkas, responded and acknowledged they received a letter from Matt. They never, ever answered him, Doug.
Oh,
so
man.
You would think one of those agencies that did it and did it to me, you would respond to the congressman. Well, Terry Newsom was put on this list because he did X, Y, and Z, or we thought he did X. They didn't respond because it's political. There's nothing to respond to.
Yeah,
this is everything Trump's talking about, just like Tulsi Gabbard. It's because of politics. Because I'm so vocal and outspoken, they're trying to silence me.
And I have to say this, folks. Look, that's the price that we're all going to be paying. And it's going to happen to you regardless if you speak up or not. It's not going to be, it's going to be just because you've taken a position. Maybe you... whether it's merely a Facebook posting or something, but it will happen to you, I guarantee you, because it's happening to us here. And yes, I'm very familiar with the four S's on the boarding pass. Very familiar with that. And I'll tell you what, you have to leave a day and a half before your plane is scheduled to take off.
Yeah, so they started tagging my executives saying I'm a terrorist and all this stuff, trying to my executives as if I was guilty of doing something, right? They were basically trying to, disrupt my job and stuff, which did not work. And I think corporations are starting to wake up to these radical scumbags. And I wasn't guilty of anything. It was all political purposes, right? And then I got a reporter from Epic Times called and gave me Troy Neal's from Texas's phone number. So Matt sent that in. Troy was on the transportation committee where the TSA was on. He reached out to them. The next time I travel was in June for work. I'm like, oh my God, we're all going to conference. This is going to happen in front of everyone, right? And I'm like a nervous wreck. I go early and nothing happens. I'm off the domestic terrorist watch list because of the letters. You know what I mean? I'm very fortunate, you know.
Praise God for that. But I first learned about you, I recall now, in the Epic Times, hearing about these exploits. It was so hard for me to really, well, I guess not hard for me to believe, but hard for me to deal with the fact that here you are with a family, health issues, and for just merely speaking out and merely exercising your rights as an American to be treated this way. And then to have Garland, Ray, Mayorkas, as you call them, scumbags, that's too nice of a descriptive phrase for those people. To me, they're traitors to this country. And speaking of Mayorkas, I can't believe, well, I can, because now I feel like I know you. You went up against some pretty nasty hombres, as mm-hmm. President Trump would say. I've got some, we have some photographs of you going up against a gang. If you want to contextualize what we're going to show in terms of how you went up against these people.
I started for our kids, and then as I got more involved and learned, and Doug, you know this better than I because you've been doing it, it's all tied together. All of this stuff is tied together, everything. And so it's like, you know, they're pumping these illegals, and that's a layup for both sides to get involved, right? We're not anti-immigrant, just like we're not against gay kids, we're not against immigrants, legal immigrants, but they lie. We hate all immigrants, right? Same bullshit. And so they started dropping them off at the train station. I mean, because the mayor of Johnson said, oh, you can't take the buses in. We're going to impound them. That was all for show and theater. And they started to drop hundreds of buses, train tracks that run into the city of Chicago. And so I started going there and I'm seeing, oh, my God, these are all men. You know, the second bus was 90-some% men. And the one guy, as soon as he stepped foot, this was in December before we knew Trendelargua, you know, he's flashing his gang sign at me. And I'm like, I'm telling people, I'm like, yeah, the guy's flashing gang signs. You know, there's gangs here. You know, I didn't know it was the criminal prison gang. There you go, right there. That's as soon as he gets off the bus, Doug. There you go.
Nice.
This is an innocent asylum seeker that's coming here to make a better life for him and his family. By the way, he was with a bunch of men. They didn't have families. You know, there. This is what. And then the mayor Barnett of Downers Grove, supposed to be a Republican, he was defending them, right? And we went after him. He goes, we need to make it safe for the travelers. That guy's a traveler that was in Downers Grove. And he said, I was a liar when I said there's gang members. Mayor Barnett, Downers Grove, remember that. It's a traveler, innocent traveler. We got to protect the travelers, Doug.
Mayor Barnett from...
Bob Burnett from Downers Grove. That's his train station there.
You know what to do, listeners and viewers. With that particular mayor, let's make him famous, and let's make him answer to what he's brought into this community. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so I'm like, wow, you know, and I see these guys, and they have handlers, and I said, I think you had the handlers. I later found out from my military buddy, they're getting $400 a day in all expenses. So they got guys that, oh, this is another guy, the Trendelier. This is at the Pilsen Center. It's a center that had 1,800 illegal Venezuelans. You'll see the one that follows this up. He's flashing Trendelargua. There you go. They're like proudly flashing. I go by myself there. I walk in the middle. They're selling stuff. And then now Trendelargua is charging them to sell their stuff if they have little tables and stuff and vendors. And I just found this out from a police officer this morning, actually. That the Chicago police officers are on our side 1,000%. They just can't talk openly about it because they'll lose their jobs. I think the unions can protect them, but their lives are going on the line because of this, right? This guy's there. It's another Trendelargua sign. That's V. I thought it was V for Venezuela, and then I did the research. So that sign there and the other ones are Trendelargua, and I might have sent you the chart that shows. And the other, there you go. Yeah. And then the Bulls hat. And I don't know if I send you the one with the Bulls hat guy on? That was at the Standard Club. So the Bulls hat is not a Chicago. Oh, there's the feds. And there you go. And I was lighthearted. I was being lighthearted, right? He was all serious at first. And I'm like, oh, come on. He couldn't speak English. And there were six cops there talking to the New York Post New York Post reporter. And while they were talking, I had a police officer take this. I'm like, oh, come on, come on. Like, you know, lighthearted. I wanted to get the picture to show. There's the Bulls hat. This is at the Standard Club. 750 FOIA police arrest incidences in 12 months at that shelter right there where we're standing next to. And the people, the handlers, lied to us. Oh, there's no crime here. Oh, this is all families. And then this guy, when I took the picture, I go, ah, bulls. I go, ah, bulls, Trendelagua. Oh, no comprende, no comprende. I go, come on. I go, come on, like, let's take a picture. No comprende. And then the guy in the black says something photo in Spanish. I understood it. I'm like, come on. I put my arm around him. I get the cap, and he let me take the picture. The brim of his hat was up a lot higher, so he pulled it down to hide his eyes. It's another example of the gang there that they're saying there's no such thing. It's not covered. We're the only ones covering this in Chicago. Now the Washington Post is going to come out with a story on this.
How prevalent is this activity in Chicago? And folks, look, if not to diminish Terry Newsom, but Terry Newsom has, he's fighting a lot of personal battles, physical battles. If he can do it, we can do it individually and collectively. How prevalent is this?
All the shelters. I ran so I started getting into the shelters. I might have sent you. I would go in because I dressed differently. I didn't, like, I had a sport jacket on there. So I took the reporter to a couple other shelters where they would yell and scream. They knew who I am because I'd go there by myself at first. And then I'd tell other people, oh, can we see? I'm like, yeah, we'll try to get in. But they know me. And they come always yelling and stuff. Get out of here. And then when I was dressed up, not trying to dress like an immigrant, they didn't recognize me. They were nice. Oh, we can't talk to you. I'm like, hey, we heard that there's, like, this is my friend from New York. I go, we heard that there's a gang member is infiltrating these poor families. I'm lying to them, right? Like, we care. I don't, I don't want to have families, but, oh, that's not true. It's all families. I go, well, we heard they're coming in here. There's lots of crime and stuff. Oh, no, that's not true. But we can't talk to you. I go, but there's not crime and drugs and stabbing and child pornography and, human sex. Oh, no. And I'm like, little these idiots know. I've got 1,500 police reports of showing child pornography, trafficking, the stabbings. It goes on and on. I mean, it's crazy. And they lie to us. The Venezuelans lie to us. The city lies to us. The handlers lie to us. Why? If this is so good. I ran an event with Tom Holman, right? And Border 911, Sarah Carter. And before, I purposely, I was sending emails to Mayor Johnson's chief of staff and these people running this. Oh, come! Would you come to the community? I did it in the city of Chicago. I said, why don't you come and tell your community why illegal immigration is good for the city of Chicago? Tell them why illegal immigration is good for minorities. Nobody responds. Till the afternoon of, the one deputy mayor says, yeah, I can't make it this afternoon, but I'd love to talk to you on the phone. I go, or in the future. I go, here's my phone number. If you can't talk today, let me know a time in the future. She only responded to say we responded, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No intent on going there. And like this stuff here that I did, and I was doing by my friends would get mad at me. It's kind of, it is kind of stupid. And, but it's like, when I was younger, I got to help understand a little bit about my background. I've been coming out about it and talking to people. I would talk to ex-offenders. I'm an ex-offender. I got in trouble in my early 35 years ago. I was recruited by older Italian guys and got mixed up. I was wrong. I'm not proud of who I was. I'm proud of who I became. I got caught up with Chicago mob connected guys and did lots of crazy stuff that makes this look like nothing. And I survived. I changed my life dramatically, and I used what I did then to help me and help us fight now. And maybe it's a combination of what I've done and been through and just being stupid and then wanting to help for our country, of those mixed together, that gives me the courage and the willingness and the desire to go confront these people. And it doesn't matter if it's Black Lives Matter, these gang members, the Democrats. I go confront you. You saw the congressman right in front of those meetings, his own meetings. I call him out in front of the meetings. I call out the politicians. I call out the rhinos. It's all tied together. And so people realize that and stand up for our rights and our kids' freedoms. We're done. We are absolutely done. And it seems overwhelming thinking about it because we don't have enough help. Well, so that's why I kind of do stuff that I think some people are scared to do.
I have to give you a lot of credit going into the belly of the beast in the way that you do. in exposing all of this. So in the remaining 8-9 minutes we have left, what do you, I mean, can we save our country? I mean, we have been invaded. And obviously, you know, whether it's a TDA gang members or others, we're in trouble. How are we going to get? Oh, yes. On the screen, if you check that on the screen, this is what you sent. If you want to explain that, just.
This one's a child abuse. So you have one with the human sex trafficking. I don't know if if we're going to talk about one of them. I mean, this is just, they beat the heck out of their wives. Go through it till we find. So they beat the heck out of their wife and their children. I mean, more unbelievable. I got 1,500 of these strangling them. And I mean, it's crazy, right?
It's amazing to see this.
They're doing strong arm tactics. These are just some of them, right? I could have sent you so many. Doug, I just, you know. Yeah, this one was sending our tax dollars back to Venezuela. What does he do? He beats the heck out of his wife because he wants the money for himself, regardless if it's for him or her. It's our money, and she sends it back to her family, and he beats the shit out of her because he wants our money for him up here.
Yeah. And people don't realize this is what's going on, and it's by design. This is all by design. It's all intentional. And you're exposing this on a daily basis. Again, folks, Terry Newsom.
This one here, human sex trafficking, is using. So these police are awesome the way they write this up, right? They used a Vortex phone. And I think I might have edited that part on the top part where I put the Obama phone. So they're using a Vortex phone. If you do, anyone wants to research Vortex phone, that's the old Obama phone, right?
Right.
And they're giving them. And I got pictures of Venezuelans holding two phones, one that we give them. Right. And then if you heard about the Biden administration is giving them a special app, right? An app for them to get into the. So that's part of what we're paying for. We're buying them the phone. We're buying them the cellular service. We're giving them an app to go around our rules and laws. Right. That's what they're doing. That's what this phone. And then now they're using these phones to do human sex trafficking. That's what this describes here on the Vortex phone. So the leftists will say, oh, Reagan started that program. Yeah, he did. But it was very, very hardly used. And when Obama administration took it over, it exploded. And that's where it got the label Vortex phone of up to $2 billion we spent on it when he was in office. So now they're giving the Vortex phones. Look it up, Vortex, to these illegal immigrants to come and go around our laws and then create crimes with our tax dollars using those phones inside tax dollar funded shelters. So the guy's sending out through WhatsApp on that phone, and they got like 10 different evidences of sexual activities and stuff. They're using the phone also to groom 11-year-old kids. There's one about 11-year-old child in there. There's child pornography that's being done on the phone. They're beating their wives with that phone in the face. And the police put that in there on purpose. The Vortex phone. It's a sign. Hey, this is our phone, tax-funded phone. People need to wake up, right? It's crazy. We need to get to the bottom of how much are they spending giving these criminals our phones or phones that we buy.
Who's making the money off of? Because there's got to be some money being made, like at the city and county levels.
Yeah.
And state level. I mean, who's making the money here?
So, for instance, the Standard Club in Chicago that we talked about, right?
Right.
I'm doing research on that with Paul. Actually, Paul found that out, my partner. The same guy who was in prison for fraud bought both those hotels in 2022. You know, the Inn of Chicago and Standard Club, which is 150 years old, it was a Jewish community thing. And, kind of dilapidated, even though they're in good locations, they kind of, they were kind of dumpy for that area. This guy bought them. Now they're getting tens of millions of dollars. And Paul found that out. So we're going to research this guy. It's typical Chicago stuff. Oh, and then, some of them have within these shelters. And we could do a whole segment of the stuff I found, Doug, inside these shelters and the NGOs and Catholic Charities. You know, we found out about Catholic Charities, and I got their internal PowerPoints that I got through FOIAs in the city of Chicago. They're getting paid billions of dollars. So think about it. The Democrats are losing votes, right? The Catholics, I'm a Catholic. I'm not a good Catholic, but I am a Catholic. The pews are becoming empty, right? They have all their problems, and people are not quite as religious. my kids went to Catholic school and grammar school, and it got so bad because the low enrollment, I moved them after sixth grade into into public school. So our tax dollars are funding, and the Obama administration's pumping them through different organizations. You might be more in depth in tune on what some of those are. And then they're going to the NGOs, United Nations, NGOs. There's this Jewish organization, NGOs, Catholic Charities getting paid billions of dollars. And then they're bringing in South Americans. What are they? What religion are they? Catholic, right?
Yep.
What are they doing? They're bringing in Democrats. Well, hopefully. I got videos of, I would cut between the Chicago homeless saying, you know, I go Trump or Biden. They're all Trump, Trump, Trump. You got the Venezuelans, Biden, 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 right? So they're using our tax dollars to destroy our country, to buy more power for the Democrats, to buy more members for the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, in some of these emails I have, Doug, and they're talking about how they'll like, say you're in Chicago and Venezuelan wants them to go to New York to his family or friends. They'll fly him out there, right? One of the emails, one of the city of Chicago leaders sent the Catholic Charities. There's like 30 of them on the email. Hey, a Venezuelan woman wants to be repatriated back home. You know, emails back and forth. In short, Catholic Charities basically says that's not what we're chartered to do. Wait a minute, I go, you're this Catholic organization that loves everybody and wants to help them. You're not going to send one person, one woman who's probably been abused so badly she wants to go home to her family, and you tell the city that's not what we're being contracted for? Oh, and by the way, I got another email that they send the city of Chicago that the spousal abuse is so bad and child abuse, they had to open up another separate shelter for the Venezuelans.
That's amazing. And folks listening to this by way of podcast, you can go to the Gateway Pundit. There's a story from March earlier this year. Newsom and Burquam exposed the terror of lawless illegals at Chicago migrant facility. And you FOIA'd the proper places, reveals battery, assault, burglary, domestic battery, criminal sexual abuse, child abuse, stabbings at just one of those facilities.
Folks, yeah, and if you guys look this up, Doug, and you go to the video in there, you'll see the confrontation. I caught these guys doing a drug transaction in a car with fake license plates in front of the shelter, trying to pretend they were Mexicans. They were Venezuelans. They lied to us, and they got out and confronted us. And you'll see that. You'll see that in the video that Ben posted.
Wow. We can. I definitely want to have you back. You, Ben Burquam, others around you. I mean, I give you so much credit because you really are fighting the good fight. And really are telling people about what's really taking place. Folks, Terry's website is fightingbehindenemylines.com. That's fightingbehindenemylines.com. And I would urge everyone to subscribe to your Rumble channel. Ladies and gentlemen, just as I ask you to subscribe to ours, please subscribe to Behind Enemy Lines USA. That's Behind Enemy Lines USA on Rumble. I'll make it easy for you. I'll put a link in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. Click that link. Subscribe. How can people support your work the best? How can people do that?
I got a website. Oh, you're going to lie. I didn't even tell you about this. Let me check this out. Let's see. I'm going the wrong.
Down. There we go. I did that.
So remember Joe Biden?
Oh yeah.
Remember the gas station? So this is just one variation. I got t-shirts and mugs. You get it from the website. I did that. I got a Venezuelan tattooed and holding an AR-15, pointing to it. I got t-shirts, mugs. Like this one here says, I did that. Crime, rape, fentanyl, murder, sex trafficking, Trendelargua.
I love it.
So we're kind of making fun of her. She did that. Let's let her know. So, you know, you can get that from the web. I just did it. The website's kind of basic. We're all new at this, even like editing and stuff. And being on your show helps. And if you're on X, you know, we have our link tree on X. It's at Terry Newsom 357. And then you could go at all our link tree. And the little story at 357. Remember when I said I was a bad guy back in the 80s and you had to have beepers?
Yes.
So if I beat my boss or other guys that work for me to go to a payphone, I put a 357 under there. That's it. They know it was Terry. That was my little code from the old Chicago days.
Oh my goodness! I love it. You are colorful. You've been through just a hell of a lot. But what you're doing now is so important for people to really understand, get behind, and folks, support Terry Newsom, support his podcast broadcast Behind Enemy Lines USA on Rumble. Shop, get some merch from them. I love that. I got to get one of those coffee cups. I love that.
I can get you one. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. Oh, it's
would you come back?
Of course, I'd be honored.
All right, perfect. All right. Thank you, my brother. God bless you. And thanks again.